Welcome to the Gold Standard here on the 440 Sports Network, live and in color, and you can see our faces. That is Emma Lingen. That is Michael Gallagher. I am Braden Gall, and it is playoff time in Smashville. That's right. I'm using all the cliches today, boys and girls. I'm all in. How are we doing this lovely Friday morning? Are we ready for 9 p.m. start times on the West Coast on Sunday and Tuesday night of next week?
No.
Absolutely not.
It's too late.
If you want to jump into the comment section, because this is our first ever chance and try at doing this live, we'll have some comments. We'll take questions if you guys have anything you want to say. Simon Hall's already in the comments saying, just settling down in my Rene jersey to trigger Braden. Hang on.
Oh yeah, Braden's got one up on you here.
There we go.
There it is.
Will not be seen in public, ever. That's the most you'll ever see of it, Simon. That's it. No, welcome to the show. Please share it on YouTube or on Facebook or on Twitter. If you're watching there, please, we do appreciate you guys. Give us a little share. Click the button. Click the thumbs up. It means a lot to us. We might be doing this more often here on the Gold Standard. So appreciate you guys hanging out with us. If you have any questions and comments. Look, we're going to get into the matchups. We're going to get into X Factors. We're going to get into previews and predictions across the board for this series. I'm curious and fascinated to see exactly how optimistic we are on the show today, because I think there's genuine reasons for it. So I think we're going to see, especially against a team that has 50 wins and is a division champion, although a division champion for the first time ever, right, in the Pacific Division. So since the division was founded, so we shall see. Lots of stuff to get to today on the pod. Okay, first and foremost, though, I'm going to start with some more apparel questions, because that's how we have to start the show. I am currently wearing a Tyler Childers hat. I am taking my wife and two daughters to a Tyler Childers concert tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Is it allowed? Are you allowed to wear a shirt or a hat of the band you are going to see at the concert?
Depends. Would you spend more than $3 to go see them?
It's a very valid point.
I don't think you can. I would never wear this hat to a Tyler Childers concert. I would wear it to all the other concerts I go to.
Are you spending more on the hat than you are on the concert tickets is the better question.
Oh, fuck no. Pardon my language at 9:03 on a Friday morning. No, absolutely not. I told my wife, she was like, we'll see how long they last tonight. I was like, no, they're going to make it for that amount of money. they're going to make it on the end. Christopher says yes, but only from previous tours. Okay. All right. Would you guys wear a hat or a shirt to a band you're going to see? Yes or no?
I have, yeah. So the band was not U2, if anyone is curious.
I don't think I would. I mean, I never have, so I guess I would say no, I wouldn't.
Also, good advice from Chris, don't buy the shirt from the current concert and then put it on. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
I wouldn't judge you if you wore a hat or shirt from a previous tour. I wouldn't, you know, judge you like Braden does with people wearing jerseys, but I would say, like, definitely don't buy it and then wear it. Like, that's, I don't know, kind of weird.
Guys, we are all about petty judgment on the show. That is our brand, guys. this is
what your brand.
Fine, that's fine. I'll take that. Okay. Nashville Predators versus the Vancouver Canucks. They played three times. You guys know the deal. Lost 3-2, 5-2, 5-2. October 19th or October 24th, October 31st, December 19th. Saros started two of those games. Lankinen started one of those games. How different are these two teams? How much do those games even matter to you guys when it comes to trying to analyze this series coming up?
I'll let Emma go first.
Oh, okay. I think they have to matter a little bit. Like, you can't completely ignore them. I do think you have to look at the entire body of work, though, for both teams over the season. I mean, to be honest, neither of these teams, if you look at the beginning of the season, neither of these teams were expected to be in this position right now. And so the fact that they are is really cool. And I think that, you know, it'll make for a good, you know, both teams had something to prove. And so I think that it's good. It'll be a good matchup. I think the regular season series is certainly, you have to look at it because that is how the teams match up against each other. But it also doesn't tell the whole story because Nashville has been a much better team down the stretch than Vancouver has. You know, Nashville has played their best hockey of the season from February on, which Vancouver hasn't. That's not to say that Vancouver's been bad since then, but just they just kind of picked up momentum at different times. And so, I mean, I'm going to read the numbers. So pardon my blank stare here, just because I don't want to mess up any of the numbers. So let's see. Okay, so the last time that they faced each other was December 19th. And since December 20th, the Preds have 29 wins, Canucks have 28. That's not a huge difference. During that span, Nashville averaged more goals per game and more shots per game. And they've been better on the power play. The thing, though, that you know, that's all good. Momentum is good, but it's not everything. And so I think that, especially on the power play, if you look at Vancouver, when their top unit is on, they can blow Nashville out of the water. Now, it hasn't been on lately. So I think it'll depend on whether they can turn it on, you know, in time for this series. But I think that you know, you mentioned that we're going to be a little bit more optimistic than we initially thought.
Well, maybe not. That was just my prediction. I thought maybe you guys.
I'm not going to be so optimistic as to say I think the Preds are going to win this series. But I do think that it is going to be a sneaky fun series. You know, much more so than the regular season series would suggest. I think that it has the chance to go a long way, and I think that it'll be competitive. It'll be hard fought. But I do think overall Vancouver's still the better team.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm starting to come around a little bit more because I was doing some research for a story I'm writing and I didn't realize exactly it wasn't bad, but I didn't realize exactly the disparity between how good Vancouver played at the beginning of the year and how they played down the stretch. I didn't realize the gap there. And I've been judging the Predators basically since they got their shit together on February 17th when they started their 18-game point streak. And since then, the Predators are second. They have the second most wins. Vancouver is 22nd. The Preds have the fourth most goals. Vancouver's 27th. They're kind of goals allowed. They're similar. The Preds have allowed the fourth fewest. The Canucks have allowed the ninth fewest. But the Preds have the fifth best power play since that streak. The Canucks are 20th in power play. Preds are second in shots per game. The Canucks are 21st. And I think just looking at record, 25-3 for the Preds, 13-11-3. The Canucks did a lot of losing when the Predators finally kicked things into gear. So I do think you can take some stuff from those three games because obviously you got outscored 13-6. It wasn't even close in any of those games. And really, it was kind of like Vancouver peaked at the beginning of the year and slowly came back, regressed to the mean. And then Nashville was kind of down and then kind of came back up. So I think the playoff series in itself is going to be interesting just because it's been – you know, 3-4 months since these two teams played together, and the team that Vancouver steamrolled in those three games isn't exactly the same team that they're going to be playing in the playoffs.
I think the two biggest factors working in the Preds' favor are sort of the same thing, which is that the way the Predators have played since February 1st, or since even they played on December 19th, is you guys have just laid it out beautifully. They're two totally different teams in terms of their production, their success, the power play, goal scored, et cetera, et cetera. Some of that, of course, is the fact that Vancouver didn't have their goaltender since like March 7th, I believe, when Demko got hurt. Maybe. But that, to me, is packaged with the inexperience factor for Vancouver. Part of, like, remember this with Peter Laviolette teams, right? Like, they would play extremely well in the first half of the season. They're riding high, and then you just sort of hit a wall, and you start to sort of peter out as the season gets to the end. Well, that's what happens to teams that don't have experience. That's what happens to teams that have a bunch of guys, all extremely talented. This is not an anti-Vancouver player take here. All these guys, Miller and Hughes and Pettersson and Besser, these guys are really good. But none of them have played meaningful hockey games outside of one pandemic series, or I guess season. Most of these guys have never played a playoff game in front of other humans outside of JT Miller. JT Miller's played a lot of playoff hockey. Tyler Myers has played a lot of playoff hockey for Winnipeg. But otherwise, of their top 10 or 12 scorers, the vast majority of these guys, the only playoff experience they have was the bubble year, where they played, I think they all played like 17. I think Vancouver played 17 games that year in the bubble. So they had a deep run-ish, But how much does that count when you're not playing in front of humans? It's a very different thing. And I think that works. I think that works with against Vancouver. And I think it works for the Preds. So not only are the Preds hotter, but the Preds are far more playoff experience than Vancouver, if that makes sense.
Yes, but I hear this argument a lot. And I think that, yeah, I mean, certainly the Preds have guys like Ryan O'Reilly and, you know, Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg and Colton Sissons and guys who have a ton of playoff experience, like you said.
Luke Shen.
I was deliberately not going to say that, but Luke Shen.
Two cups, Ryan, baby. Two cups.
As much as we crap on him, we at least got to give him a little bit of credit for that.
Ryan McDonough has played a gazillion playoff games. A gazillion.
Yeah.
Roman Josi, same thing.
All valid, all true. I'm not disputing any of that. However, there are also so many guys on this Preds team that haven't. Like, you look at,
I mean,
Tommy Novak, Luke Evangelista, Michael McCarron, Kiefer Sherwood, Cole Smith, like Mark Jankowski. I mean, just guys who have been key contributors to this team down the stretch, but they haven't had the playoff experience. So now I feel I'm going to be the resident devil's advocate today.
Oh, nice.
I just think that it's not as cut and dry as people make it out to be. Like, yes, the Predators organization has been to the playoffs a lot more and recently than Vancouver has, but a lot of these players haven't. And like, Vancouver's got guys like Ian Cole too, like, you know, seasoned guys who have a ton of playoff experience and have multiple Stanley Cups, that I think like it can really make a difference. But I don't know. I just, that argument is, it's not flawed, but it's not complete.
To counter Emma's point, I guess, to maybe back Braden's point, but I don't know who I fall on here, playing devil's advocate to the devil's advocate. Right. Rick Tocchet, as a head coach, has only been to the playoffs once in his previous seven seasons. This is his second playoff appearance. The same thing with Andrew Burnett. This is his second playoff appearance. When you get to coaching in experience in the playoffs, you're going to default to your guys that have been there before. And I think you have to give the edge to Nashville in that sense, because the Canucks haven't been to the playoffs since, what, 2018, 2019, somewhere in there.
It was the 2020 pandemic year. And that's the only year they've been to the playoffs in eight seasons. Full stop.
Yeah, the Predators have been to the playoffs more recently. Granted, it hasn't always ended the way they wanted it to, but they have more playoff experience. And you have guys on this roster that have won cups, which is exactly why Barry Trotz brought them in. And you have guys on the Predators roster like Roman Josi and Colton Sissons. I don't think you can undervalue their playoff experience. Granted, they didn't win a cup, but they got really damn close. And I think when you have coaching and coaching matchup where both are so inexperienced in the playoffs, you're going to default to the player's experience. And I think you have to give the edge to Nashville there.
I think, Emma, the argument for me is the 5, 6, 7, 8 most important pieces of each team. The ones for Nashville are extraordinarily experienced. Roman Josi versus Quinn Hughes, right? The two top elite defensemen. Quinn Hughes has played in one playoff, and that was when there were no humans in 2020. Roman Josi, end of discussion. Like, goaltending, you got to give the edge to UC Saros. He's played more, even though he was hurt the last time they played. And that's just a slight edge for UC Saros. If you look at the top defense pairing, and I'm going to butcher a lot of Vancouver names, so if you're a Vancouver fan watching, I apologize. I'm just going to say that on the front end. But Hronek, the other defenseman, who's had a really great season for them, creates a lot of offense. Zero playoff games, not one. Ryan McDonough, all of the playoff games, like every single one. The Predators grinder center that wants to play, you know, on penalty kills and against the tough teams. That's Colton Sissons. Shit ton of playoff games. Like, you can go down the list and look at it and go, all right, the top scorers. I mean, Pettersson, again, 89 points, one playoff run, and that was during 2020 when they had no players. So I don't want to belabor this point, but I think the key star players for Nashville have way more experience than the key star players than Vancouver. And Nashville is playing its best hockey, where Vancouver, a lot of times when you see teams jump out of nowhere and become really good, they struggle around this time of year, and Vancouver did. I'm not saying that Nashville's going to win the series, but I think they go hand in hand. I think experience and sort of how they're playing work together, and I think both of those check marks are in Nashville's favor.
Something you got to weigh into this too. Vancouver, like I said earlier, they kind of peaked at the, you know, beginning of the season, middle of the season, kind of came back down to earth. The Predators have been in playoff mode for the last 2 months. So they don't have to change anything. They don't have to look for that extra gear. Vancouver, I'm not saying Vancouver has to be more prepared than Nashville does, but Vancouver hasn't really had its foot on the gas, so to speak, as Nashville has. So I think that's something you got to keep in mind too, is the Predators have been in win now mode ever since February 17th. And I think they've kind of fed off that desperation. So I think they're probably in a better spot and a better headspace going into the series than Vancouver is.
Suter, no playoff games. Hoglander, by the way, my favorite player on the team already. Hoglander, zero playoff games. Hronek, zero playoff games. Garland, one playoff series in 2020. Joshua, one game played in the playoffs. So I just, like, there are, Emma, to your point, there are clearly players down the roster that have experience, and those guys are incredibly important in a playoff run. I totally agree with you. This is why I thought Dallas was the much tougher matchup. They are all loaded with dudes who have played a boatload of playoff games who are just as talented. And it's why I like the Vancouver matchup a lot more. This is new for them. It's all new for them. It's not, you're not wrong. It's new for Luke Evangelista. It's new for all those guys you mentioned. It's absolutely true, but they're not the guys that are going to win games for this team. The guys who are going to win games are Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, UC Saros, Ryan McDonough, Ryan O'Reilly. These are the guys who are going to, if they're going to win, those guys have to be great, in my opinion.
I agree. I think that if you're going to win, then you all have to be great. That's true. Be great up and down the lineup.
Quickly, some odds here. What do you guys make of this? I think this is also Vegas side-eyeing the Nashville Predators a little bit. No, because they're, first of all, Nashville dead last in the odds to win the Western Conference. I just want to put that out there. Plus 1,800. But Vancouver is fifth in the Western Conference odds to win the Western Conference. It is, you've got plus 350 for Edmonton, plus 350 for Colorado. Those are the two favorites to win the Western Conference right now. Plus 425 for Dallas, plus 600 for Vegas. You got to go all the way down to plus 750 for Vancouver. Some of that is because I think they got a bad draw with Nashville, to be honest with you, because both these teams are very similar. Plus 900 for Winnipeg and plus 1300 for the Kings. Style of play. We'll get to the goalies in a second, but style of play, both these teams want to push the pace, control the offense. They're both very good in the offensive zone. Is that a good thing for Nashville? Is that a bad thing for Nashville?
I don't know. I think it has the potential to be a very good thing, but it also can turn really bad really quickly, depending on how they show up to these games. And, you know, talking about, you know, again, moving on from the playoff experience conversation, I would just look in general at, you know, if you look at Vancouver's top guys, you know, you mentioned Demko, Pettersson, Hughes. I think they match up extremely well against Nashville's counterparts in Josi, Forsberg, and Saros. But what concerns me more about Nashville is the depth around those core guys. I think those core guys head-to-head, fantastic matchup. But I don't know. I think there's been a little bit of inconsistency. I think that, again, the Nashville's top guys haven't been inconsistent, but the rest of the team has. So that's kind of what maybe concerns me a little more.
And kind of playing off that a little bit too, I think it'll be interesting to see who does the scoring for each team and like how often, because if you look at both teams, a bulk of their offense has come from four players, right? Nashville's been Forsberg, Josi, Nyquist, and O'Reilly. And if you look at Vancouver, it's been JT Miller, Quinn Hughes, Pettersson, and Besser. Everyone else on Vancouver has less than 48 points, and everyone else on Nashville has less than 45 points. So really it's four guys running the offense for both teams. So I think that's the key for me. Is Nashville able to, I don't want to say shut down, but maybe limit Vancouver's top guys better than Vancouver is able to limit Nashville's top guys? We're going to get into the goaltenders a little bit. It's going to depend on goaltending. It's going to depend on the defense and stuff too. And I really think, and I know this isn't going to play a factor into it, but I really think we're going to be treated to the Quinn Hughes versus Roman Josi Norris Trophy discussion matchup in this series. And I think that's something that would probably be one of the biggest keys to the series for me. Because Roman Josi does more with less, but Quinn Hughes scores a little bit more. So I think depending on how the series goes, is going to be dependent on how the big four for each team goes, pretty much.
I agree. If the top line for the Preds cannot score, it's going to be very difficult to win.
Yeah.
And we can say the same about Saros, but we'll get to that in a second. So, Andrew, this is sort of back to the original question here, but you mentioned the Norris Trophy Award. I know you want to talk Jack Adams here because it's probably the top two candidates as well. Who has more pressure? Andrew asks. And I think that is clearly Vancouver. The answer is absolutely Vancouver in this case. But if you got the Norris Trophy on the line, are we going to give the winner of the series gets the Jack Adams as well? Is that what we're going to do?
I think that's fair.
All right.
I mean, I think it wouldn't. I think, you know, that matchup, the Rick Tockett versus Andrew Brunette matchup and the Quinn Hughes versus Roman Josi matchup, like, that's huge. Those are like the two biggest storylines here. Both coaches, I think, would be deserving of the Jack Adams Award. I don't think that if Rick Tockett wins it, that that's undeserved, because it clearly, both these coaches have, like I said at the beginning of the show, they've taken teams that weren't even supposed to be sniffing the playoffs and taken them to this point. And so that's really impressive. And, you know, I'm just excited for that. I'm excited to see what happens, you know, with that matchup, especially with Quinn Hughes and Roman Josi.
We'll get to some official predictions here in just a second, but let's talk goaltenders. Thatcher Demko, of course, gets injured. I think it was a knee injury on March 7th. Misses the better part of the rest of the entire season. He comes back, and he started, I believe, on Tuesday of this week against Chicago, so he's back in net. He had a .918 save percentage, .244. This is a guy who statistically was way better than UC Saros, but has not been playing. And so I'm curious. I mean, this is a real cop-out way to start this, because we just have no clue. Because Pekka, the reason they went on that run in 2017 was Pekka went up there and committed like grand theft larceny in Chicago. Like, he went up there and stole games. And when goaltenders do that, you can't really predict it sometimes. They're both capable of doing it, Demko and Saros. But Saros has been the hotter goaltender and has been playing more routinely. How do we feel about the coaching matchup? I think is pretty even. I think the top line matchup is pretty even. I think the defense cores are pretty even. I think Vancouver has a huge edge in the depth, which you've already alluded to, Emma. But goaltending, what is this? Do we trust Saros to flip a switch, turn it on, and become the old Saros? Or is this, or is Demko back because he's healthy? Like, I think it's a really fascinating dynamic with the two goaltenders.
Yeah, I think with this one, I don't really know what the answer is, because Saros is obviously the hotter goaltender. He's had the bigger body of work. He's been doing it for a lot longer. He found it in the middle of the season and has kind of pretty consistently been really good the last, you know, 30 games of the season. But what scares me about this is Saros has been bad in the playoffs. And I don't say that in any disrespectful way. It's just, it's numbers. He's had 10 starts in the playoffs. He's 3-7 with a .263 goals against average, which is really good. A .914 save percentage. But whenever they get into the playoffs and he is good, that he has gotten very little goal support. And that's the thing that bothers me, because Saros can go out there and he can, you know, hold the other team to one goal. But if the Predators aren't scoring anything, that's what I worry about with this series. Is traditionally in the playoffs, he has not gotten the goal support that he's gotten during the regular season. So I wouldn't say I'm more worried about Saros' performance. I think he'll be the Saros we all expect. It's whether the team can score enough to help him out, because like we've said the whole season, he's good enough to go out there and steal you a series. Is the offense good enough to go out there and support him and give him the goals that he needs to be able to steal that series?
I think the offense is better than any of the previous teams that Saros has played on in the playoffs. I mean, we talked about the other day, depending on whose numbers you're looking at, Hockey Reference or the NHL, they are, you know, either what, the best or the second best, you know, in terms of goal scoring in franchise history. So I think that I'm not saying that they're going to go out there every night and score 10 goals on Vancouver, but I do think that, you know, kind of looking, if you're looking at Saros' past playoff performance and his lack of goal support, I would say if you're ever going to see him get goal support in the playoffs, this would be the team to do it as far as what we've seen so far. So, and also I just want to throw in there too, yes, Demko was injured. He's been back now, played a couple games. Like, I think he'll be fine, but I mean, you got to give it to Casey DeSmith, who has, you know, been the backup for them and like really kind of held down the fort in Vancouver. And I would say the same with Kevin Lincoln in Nashville. Like, I think both teams have very solid backup goaltenders who are not, that they play better than your typical backup, I think. So that, I think, is very important in just having a reliable tandem in net, you know, whether it's the starter or the backup.
I will say if it gets to where they're going to their backups in any of these games, I would give the slight edge to Nashville, just because I do think Kevin Lankinen is a little bit better than Casey DeSmith. But also, too, you got to keep in mind, too, Demko only has 4 games of playoff experience, and that came in the 2019-20 season. So he's relatively inexperienced. Granted, he was really good in those games, 2-1, a .064 goals against average and a .985 save percentage. he was lights out during that 3 or 4 game stretch.
Braden, I think you're muted.
There we go. No humans in that playoffs. There's a lot of people that would prefer my mic stay muted, actually. No humans. Just want to point that out. 2020 playoff games. I don't know how much they count because Saros played in some of those too. That was Saros, right? In 2020 where they played Arizona. Yeah. And they did not play well. Yeah. They did not play well in that series. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you by having a muted mic, Michael. I apologize.
Oh, I thought it was on my end because I was like, I see you moving and talking, but I hear nothing.
No. E me, 2 minutes, minor. I will point out though to your point about Saros and the playoffs. Literally, the last win the Nashville Predators had in a postseason series was May 23rd, 2001. You know how many saves UC Saros made in that game? 60. 58 saves, I think, was the total number of saves in that game. He was the two wins against Carolina, 56 shots and 61 shots in two double overtime games. They lost the next two. He was pretty damn good in that series against a very good Carolina team. What's interesting, I think it's more about the defense, honestly. I'm more worried about the defense than the offense. I think the offense, if you're going to be the best in franchise history, we got to count on them to score a couple of goals to give them two or three a night. And if you have two or three goals a night in the postseason, you should be good enough on defense with UC Saros to win some games. So I think it's honestly, I don't know what the lineup's going to look like. Do you guys think that Brunette rolls out the same six that he's had the last couple of days? Like, I don't know what I am more concerned about, not the top pairing with McDonough and Josi, but I'm more concerned about the second and third pairing. The power play's been excellent of late. They were scoring goals. The top line's working. I think they're going to score. And I think Saros is going to be better than he was in the regular season. I'm worried about the defense holding up for 60 minutes. That's my concern.
Yeah, I think it's a valid point because if you got Stastny and Schenn together, first of all, you couldn't have two more completely polar opposite defensive players. You have Spencer Stastny, who's lightning fast and rarely makes a mistake, and then you have Luke Schenn, who's basically might as well be on a wheelchair out there and just cannot do anything or stop anybody. So I think we see the numbers for that pairing kind of limited a little bit, maybe around 10 or 11 minutes, just because I think you could see some more double shifting with the defenders, especially with Roman Josi and Ryan McDonough playing as big a part as they have in the defensive success this season. But one thing I'm looking for is it was when Lozon and Carrier first, is Carrier healthy enough to play? And if Lozon and Carrier are paired together, when they eventually give up a goal or when they make a mistake, a defensive zone turnover, whatever, when that pair starts to lose it a little bit and the offense starts figuring that pairing out, do they break them up? Do they switch them? Do they decrease the ice time? Because to me, that pair, not because they've been bad, but that pair has been the biggest liability just because they're always out there against, it seems like, the other team's top scoring lines because they're the good mix of offensive and defensive defensemen. And to me, that's the pairing I'm watching. I'm not really worried about what Roman Josi and Ryan McDonough are doing. Lozon and Carrier, to me, is the one that I kind of have my eye on.
Give me Spencer Stastny and Tyson Barry.
There we go.
Please, God.
they played together so much during the regular season, and they were a good pairing.
Pound the table, Emma. Pound the table. not literally. No. That'll shake the table.
I mean, well, I don't want to also because my dog is miraculously asleep next to me, and I don't want to wake her up. But I think that, yes. I mean, obviously, our feelings about Luke Schenn are well documented. I think that Tyson Barry is a much more similar player to Stastny, but he's also, I think he's just better. And he's also, if we're going to talk about playoff experience, I know Luke Schenn has a lot, but so does Tyson Barry. And I think that, you know, I think that if, and I've been asked this before too, that like which guy who's currently not in the lineup for Nashville would make the most or the biggest impact if he were put in the lineup. I 100% think it's Tyson Barry. And to your point about the Lozon Carrier pairing, I have some, maybe not doubts, but like I'm not as confident about that one. I wouldn't mind seeing Fabro in for Carrier, to be honest. I think that Fabro I think Fabro's a little bit more disciplined and he's a little bit more consistent. Like, okay, scary. I don't know. Carrier has the scoring touch, but we really haven't seen it recently. And I think that it's just like, yeah. I don't know. I I don't think that he's necessarily a liability at this point, but I wouldn't be mad to see Favreau in there instead.
I feel like Favreau, I mean, to your point, Carrier usually is the defenseman that puts up a little bit more points just because he's in the lineup more. But I feel like Favreau is a better playmaker than a goal scorer, if that makes sense. And I also feel like he, skating backwards, getting back on the rush, I feel like he makes less mistakes in transition than Carrier does. And if I'm going into a playoff series, I would take that over the possibility of Alex Carrier scoring two or three goals in this series.
I think what's important, and we see this all the time in series, I think, again, the one that sticks out to me all the time is Peter Laviolette, I believe, started game one of the Blackhawks series with, like, Harry Zolnerchuk on the first line with, like, Mike Fisher. Like, you see coaches do weird shit. And I think what happens is you're going to see, I think, but that the style of this series is going to dictate what Andrew Brunette does on the back end. I think if this series is going to be played at lightning speed, and it could, if it's all offense, up and down the ice, super entertaining, I think it's going to be a wide open series. I think the entire Stanley Cup is going to be completely wide open. I just told you Edmonton and Colorado are the two favorites to win the Western Conference. They didn't win a division between the two of them. So, like, there's a lot of people that have no clue who's going to win the Cup, that have no clue who's going to win either conference. And I think this series is completely wide open. So if the games are fast, which I think is very possible, the question then becomes, is it obvious to everyone watching that certain players are not fast enough? And that's all I mean. Like, or is it the other way? Do the Predators find success because they are beating the trash out of these guys? They slow the game down a little bit, which is not really in their DNA, but they got some thumpers on the back end. And so if they want to play a slower game and they want to bring it down into the mud a little bit, especially with the lead, a very good road team, the Nashville Predators this year. And when you're on the road and you get a 2-goal lead, I might prefer McDonough and Shen and Lozon out there knocking some heads around. Because it, so it depends on the style of the series. But a lot of times what you're going to see is game one's going to happen. And whatever happens in game one, a coach is going to go, oh, shit, that guy can't play. And then he makes an adjustment. And I think seeing what the coaches do from game to game is going to be really, really interesting. Because I think that is where you can I'm drawing a blank on because Carolina was so fast in that series against them. But I can't. There was a. Maybe it was like the old teams in like 18 or 19 when they were playing Winnipeg, maybe. And they were like, was it Winnipeg when they wasn't starting Scott Hartnell or something like that? Was that the thing? And all of a sudden they put Scott Hartnell out there and Scott Hartnell just went and started beating the shit out of people in the crease. And we were like, oh, this is what they should have done all series.
And sounds about right.
So I think that's going to be really fascinating. It's like, what type of series do we get? And if it's all fast, you might need more, you know, Fabros, Carrier, Stasny's. If it's going to be different than that, then maybe you do need more Shen and Lozon. And so I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how the series play out.
And to your point too, and I guess along with what Emma said too, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Tyson Barrie in this series at some point, because we're talking about one of the big concerns we have is the offense going to be able to put up enough points to outscore Vancouver. Tyson Barrie is one of the best power play defensemen in the NHL, not just on this team, in the NHL. You haven't seen it because he's been benched a lot this year. But also, he's also really good on the rush. He's really good at generating offense. He's really good at goal scoring. So if the Predators are down 2-0 coming back to Nashville, I wouldn't be surprised. I doubt it's Luke Shen because apparently he's just got a golden ticket into the roster at all times. But I wouldn't be surprised if Stastny or Carrier or whoever gets pulled in and we see Tyson Barrie in there just for the fact that he provides a lot of offensive upside too.
A couple of comments here. I want to make sure we get to this. Anthony says, one of the big advantages from Merrick and Friedman on their show, I believe today, was that Nashville had McDonough and O'Reilly with massive amounts of deep postseason experience. We talked a lot about that, Anthony, at the beginning of the show. So if you want to go back and check that out, that is a huge, if I'm picking Predators, which I will get to in a second, that's one of the reasons I would pick them. Absolutely. Let's see here. Let's go back up. I know a couple of you guys others said some other stuff. Anthony also says something about Kevin Lankinen being his coming out party. No, I love you, Anthony. Thank you for tuning in. Share the show. No. If they win this series, it's because UC Saros plays well. That's how I feel about that. Okay, so we want to make some official predictions, put some credibility and reputations on the line, because I think this is going to be I think this is very evenly matched. I know in the NHL you see a division champion and 109 points versus 99 points, and even though it's just 10 points, that's a bigger gap than you think. But also 50 wins versus 47 wins. That's not that big of a gap. So I think these teams are much closer than we think. Vancouver's deeper. They have home ice advantage. Preds are very good on the road. I think this is going to be a very good series. I think it's going to be very good. So I think that that alone should get Predators fans excited. All right, who's first? Who wants to go first?
Nose goes.
All right. I'll go first then, Michael. How about that? Unless you want to go.
I don't care. Do you want me to go? I have no
go
problem.
For it. Official prediction. This is it right here.
So I've been saying for weeks, Vancouver was the matchup that you did not want. And while I believed it at the time, doing research for a story that I've been working on and writing, I think I've talked myself into the opposite now. And I mean, look, the Predators are they're 24-14-3 on the road. They're one of the best road teams in the NHL. And I think it's like you said, they're very evenly matched. I think it's going to be a close game. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to game seven and whoever wins that game wins 3-2 or 4-3 or it's a one goal game or whatever. I'm going to pick Nashville. I'm 51-49% on that. I think it's going to be a very close game, but I think because of the fact that they are a good road team, they've been in playoff mode for 2 months now. I think this is going to come down to which coach pushes the right buttons and makes the right decisions. And I think I'm picking Andrew Brunette to outcoach Rick Tocchet in this matchup.
Man, I like it. I don't think it's a terrible pick. How many games? You say seven? Seven games. All right, Emma.
I'm going to be the bad guy. I too think that it will be a very evenly matched series, a very close series, a very fun series that will go long. I'm going to go Canucks in six.
Oh, win on another game six win at Bridgestone Arena. That's great. by the way, start times 9 o'clock for games one and two, but then you got a 6:30 puck drop on Friday and then a 4 o'clock puck drop on Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. So the kiddies in Nashville, the Preds fans, my daughters get to actually watch some playoff hockey, which is wonderful. Okay. I think the Preds win game one. I think they go out there and they win game one. I think Vancouver comes back and wins game two. I think they split game three and four, and then they go home and home. I think Vancouver wins five. I think the Predators win six. I think we go to seven. And just like my Roman Yossi bobblehead doll.
That's so sad.
Which is fucking broken. I don't know how my daughters did this to my damn Roman Yossi bobblehead doll. But it's broken. He lost his legs.
So what I'm hearing is you're predicting Roman Yossi breaks his leg in game seven?
Roman Yossi!
Yeah, are Roman Yossi's legs going to fall off in game seven? Like, I don't know what your prediction is.
Preds losing seven because Vancouver breaks Roman Yossi's legs. No, I think it's a great series. I wouldn't be surprised if there's multiple overtime games. But I think the depth of Vancouver is the difference, but I really, really believe that Nashville can win the series. I really think so. And if this was Dallas, I would say zero chance. But I think they can beat Vancouver because Vancouver's inexperienced. They're not playing their best hockey. Nashville's more experienced, playing their best hockey, good on the road. And if Saros turns it on, they can beat anybody. So I'm going to pick Vancouver in seven, but I am way closer to you, Michael, than I ever thought I would be as like the negative Nancy, resident negative Nancy.
How did I become the one person that's picking the Preds to win? And you guys are on the Vancouver bandwagon when I felt like it's been the opposite the last couple of weeks. Yeah. How the hell did that happen?
Look, strange things happen when we go live, baby. You just never know. Thank you.
I will say I'm not just flopping my decision here based on like the recency bias and everything. Like I'm a big numbers person and just studying the numbers of how they play down the stretch and how they played since their last meeting on December 19th, I feel like the Predators are the more complete team and they're playing better hockey. And that's why I switched to having them win. But
I agree.
By the way, if Roman Yossi really does break his legs in game seven, you better burn this video because people are going to be coming for you. Nashville is going to be, all of Nashville is going to be at your door with burning pitchforks.
It's very hard to skate with nothing above your thighs. You know, like you get nothing, but there you go. Yossi for North in there. This is why you watch on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and hang out with us live. We are going to have reactions to every game that takes place throughout the postseason. So make sure you have the Gold Standard podcast feed. Make sure you're subscribed to that. If you want to give us a review, we would appreciate it. 5 stars only, because if you do not give us 5 stars, you are a hater. That is Emma Lingen. Where can people find your writing and scribings throughout the course of the postseason?
You can find me at the Hockey News on the Nashville Predators team site. I'm the site editor there, and I will post everything that I write on Twitter. My handle is underneath my face, Emma_Lingen. So give me a follow.
And Michael, where can everybody find your work throughout the course of the postseason?
Yeah, you can find my stuff and Clay Brewer and some of my other writers at NashvilleHockeyNow.com. And we also have a Twitter and Facebook page where we post all of our stories as well. And if you want to interact with me, tell me I'm stupid, whatever, you can find me on Twitter. MGSports_ is my handle.
I would like to say to all you folks who showed up, first of all, thank you for coming and watching. Great response. You guys are great. It's going to be a fun postseason. You guys were so calm and tame in the comments. Like, nobody was talking shit. It was great. I mean, maybe we should up the game a little bit. I don't know.
Just wait till the playoffs start and maybe go check Reddit if you're worried.
Yeah. There we go.
Let's do a live AMA on Reddit and see what happens.
all right. Quick. I will wrap up like this. Stanley Cup championship matchup. Who you got? Put you on the spot.
I'm going to go Dallas and Florida.
I love that pick. I love that pick. Two teams that got close, not quite. I love that pick.
I don't know. I flip-flop on the East. I think it's going to be Dallas in the West. It's either going to be Dallas versus Carolina or Dallas Rangers, I think.
So you had Carolina, Florida last year in the Eastern Conference Final. You had Vegas, Dallas last year. So a lot of experience for those four. The year before that, Tampa, New York. I'm curious if New York ever actually puts it together. And as a kid who grew up as a Rangers fan, I'm convinced no. Colorado versus
Laviolette. This is their best year to try. It's all downhill after this.
Well, he'll lose in the second round in game 7 when he wins the President's Trophy. Colorado versus Edmonton, of course, was the Western Conference Final 2 years ago. So we have tons of teams in the Western Conference with a lot of playoff experience. Vancouver is not one of them. I like Dallas versus Edmonton in the final. Is that even possible? I don't even know.
It is. I like different parts of the bracket.
I think those are the two teams that are like I would circle and go to, and I'm picking Dallas, but because you two pick Dallas, I'll pick Edmonton to finally get there. And I like Florida as well. Suffocating defense. You got a bruiser. You got talent. You got experience. I like Florida as well. So I guess I'm going Edmonton and Florida in a traditional NHL rivalry of Canada versus Miami.
You're just trying to get the most travel mileage out of that.
That's
one.
That's right. Thank you guys all for listening. Thank you guys for hanging out and asking questions. You guys were phenomenal and excellent. We do appreciate you. Thank you to Emma Lingen. Thank you to Michael Gallagher. Make sure you check out both their work, National Hockey Now and the Hockey News. I am Braden Gall. Rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back every single morning after each game to give you a quick recap. Can't wait to do that. So otherwise, have a great weekend, everybody. Sunday night, 9 p.m. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.